forget. If we could see where we are from, where we do lie, and where we go wrong, then we can learn from lessons in life, and maybe we can find some peace of mind. Life gets better as the times get better, and despite that, where will we go? Whoa, 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 whoa. Life seems rougher when the times get tougher, but surviving the rough will make you strong. Whoa, 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 whoa. I don't follow no religion, bow to a DJ, worship the rhythm. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number three of the most thrilling 3 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the most polished and professional... I can't say that with a straight face. Show on the radio. Bro, you know. Anyway, my very special guest is still Shane Warbrook. I hope you've been enjoying yourself. I sure as hell have been. And what can I do, you know? Entertain myself. I seem to be pretty good at that sometimes. I guess I am a talk radio show host, you know. It's kind of one of those qualifications that you got to have, you know. I've got my school certificate and entertaining myself, you know. The exams were pretty tough. but beyond that, I mean... How can you look at this kind of situation? Like, how old are you, Shane?
32.
Yeah. See, I'm 29. Around about the same age, right? Mm. And I don't know. I'm starting to come to the end of my 20s, right? And I'm starting to think like the party of my life is over, and now this is time for like I don't know, finding a path in life and actually starting to get really good at it. You know what I'm saying? Honing a craft. And what I'm worried about actually is like house prices. Like, have you noticed, like back in our parents' generation and what have you, one man and his income could support a family and buy a house and a car for him and the missus, and they could take holidays and stuff. Now you need two incomes to rent something.
Yep.
Minimum. If you're lucky. What the hell is going on, man? I mean, it's like, what was it? Thomas Jefferson, I think he said, that if you give private banks the power to issue your currency, they will deprive the people of their resources and their assets until one day they wake up homeless on the continent their forefathers conquered.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
What's your perspective on that? I mean, how do you feel about New Zealand? Were you born here?
Yeah, I was, yeah. You know, just, yeah, the house pricing thing is something that's a personal bugbear of mine at the moment. Just because in my entire group of friends, no one can even consider, you know, barring having their parents die and inheriting a house, the idea of owning a house is just so... The scope that no one even considers it. And, you know, these are people who work, who all work 40 hours a week. And just the idea of owning a home is ludicrous.
That's sick, man. Mm. Yeah. It's actually kind of like really, really sad, like depressing.
Yeah.
How can you even bring yourself to work 40 hours a week? If you ultimately will have absolutely nothing to show for it, other than just being alive.
Oh yeah, that's it, isn't it?
You'd be grateful for it, you know. Work, slave, and just be grateful we don't kill you.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's why I call them a slave job. If it, whenever I go out and stuff, it's a reasonably rare occasion, but when I do, you know how everybody like starts off that conversation with, "Oh, what do you do? What do you do for a living?" or something. I'm just like straight out, "What do you do for a slave job, bro?" Slave job, yeah, slave job. I'm glad because I don't have a slave job. Now, let me clarify as well. I'm not talking down to people who've got a slave job. Okay, everybody get to eat. You know, but some people even got other mouths to feed. You know, kids and whatnot. People got mortgages to pay. Those who could afford to buy them way back in the day, because you certainly won't be able to ever afford one again.
unless you win Lotto.
Yeah.
Or a John Key's daughter. And what I got this real thing about is just this slavery, right? It's just freaking slavery. That's all that it is. Do you feel it? Do you feel like a slave, Shane? Like you know when you collect your paycheck at the end of the week and you barely got enough to survive. You know, what about your friends? Do they feel like they're slaves? Or are we just trying to placate ourselves and just pretend that we're not? Because it feels really terrible to admit the truth.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. But you can't have much that you can keep, really, from it. So it's not really the bartering system it's supposed to be.
Yeah. You don't get to keep much. It's kind of like The Desolation of Smaug. Did you see the new The Hobbit movie?
No, I haven't.
All right, well, anyway, there's this greedy dragon who's locked away in a freaking pile of gold that's like stretches on for miles, Virch, you know? Like these dwarves had like sucked out freaking gold from mountains and down miles and miles in the earth. And dragons really love that gold. And they just sit, and he just sits there bathing in it and the things, you know, like Scrooge McDragon. It's unbelievable. Just sitting there. Stroking his gold. Loving it. For ages. Destroyed everything. Destroyed everything everybody ever freaking worked for. And then just took all their gold and just sits there doing nothing with it. That's kind of like the global elite, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, we've got all this potential. And they're doing nothing with it. They're squandering it. I mean, it's like... I wanted to say putting sunscreen on a black person, but that's kind of racist. Here's an idea of squandering that I think everybody can really vibe with. Plan games on Facebook. Here we go. I know you've all done it. I've done it. Okay. What have you got to show for it? Absolutely nothing. Squandered significant portions of your life away on that stuff, didn't you? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Well, some people do anyway. and that's in a nutshell, eh? It's pretty painful to behold that you can spend so many hours of your life working at something that means absolutely nothing. And you can't, yeah. and you got nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
It's BS, man. I'm just sick to death of it. And people just keep putting up with it. They just keep putting up with it. Every time John Key lies to them, again, they just go, oh, yeah? That sounds like an all right bullshit story. I'll buy that. Why isn't anybody getting angry? I mean, I haven't seen anybody out in the streets just screaming in sheer frustration. Why, God? Why is there so much frickin' scumbaggery? It's unbearable. I can't stand it. I'm mad as hell. And I'm not going to take it anymore. Why shouldn't we be doing that? You know? At least anger is a hell of a lot more productive than being depressed and doing nothing. I don't know where you stand philosophically on that, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I can't answer the why shouldn't we, but I can answer the why not, I think.
Yeah.
It's apathy, fatigue, and exhaustion.
Yeah. I mean, what do you got to lose anyway, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I always find it really ironic when people ask me, you know, like, aren't I afraid of, you know, coming out there in public and doing this radio show and all of that kind of stuff? And it's like, bro, they're going to take everything from me anyway, and you. And everyone else. So what have I really got to lose? What is there to be afraid of? I've already got nothing coming to me. I mean, just get with it. harden the frack up, man. I just sick of the whinging and the whining. Ironically, of course, because I'm doing a hell of a lot of whinging and whining right now because I'm just so sick of the crap. Yeah, but at least I'm actually doing something about it. You know, allegedly. Maybe I'm just spinning my wheels here, you know. Maybe I haven't actually helped anything like 3-4 years doing this bloody radio show. Maybe I haven't helped a damn thing. Maybe I've actually helped things get worse. I was at Splore Festival. Did you hear about that?
Well, I know the festival. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there over the weekend, and a listener of mine got me a volunteer gig there. You know, like directing parking for several hours a day in exchange for, you know, just being able to stay there and go out booging at night. I can't cut a rug better than a craft knife. Sharp. What I'm talking about. And one of my listeners, actually, that's what he accused me of. I met one of my listeners, a different listener entirely, randomly, at Splore. I think maybe it was about fourth one of my listeners I met at that festival, in fact. And he said, I'm damaging people. That the way I'm carrying on and going on about it unseriously is actually hurting people, especially people who haven't come across this information before, who perhaps are only just starting to go through their awake process. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And he might be right. That's actually one of my greatest fears, that I'll actually cause damage doing the thing that I think is doing the right thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling guilty for no reason, but...
Well, I guess you'd hope that someone in that position would use it to seek, if it wasn't the right presentation for them, then they'd use the opportunity to seek the presentation that works for them elsewhere.
Yeah. Maybe this listener's idea of that, you would listen to one episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show and you'd be scarred for life, you know? You would never recover.
Yeah, that might be beyond,
I reckon
I think you're probably safe there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, but then again, it might be feasible. Who knows? I don't know. You never know. People take it the wrong way. Here's another point. You know how we were talking about how people are stupid? What if somebody who's foolish comes and listens to the show and they hear something on the show that wasn't, like, totally well-researched or wasn't absolutely backed up by pure and solid fact, and they don't know how to research stuff for themselves, and they get themselves into real big trouble because they follow advice that they got from the show that wasn't totally onto it? Now, is it my responsibility to make sure that I vet absolutely everything I say and everything my guests do and what have you, just to make sure that stupid people who listen to the show, who take no personal responsibility for their actions, don't hurt themselves?
Yeah, I think that's probably in both directions, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just in that, it's always in your best interest to be as informed as possible for both parties. But, you know.
I know. However, the format of the show is somewhat different to a lot of other mainstream talk radio shows in that I don't vet my guests, nor even really speak to them beforehand, and no preparation. It's just like, we're here now, let's have a conversation, like two normal people sitting around in a cafe, just having a few laughs and having a yarn. You know, that's the way I think it works quite well. You know, it's got maybe its flaws and maybe things that need polishing and whatnot, but I don't know. I wish I had, like, a crew or something, you know, because at the moment it's just me, bro, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe sometime down the track, could even happen this year, I have, like, volunteers and or employees and or some nice facilities and whatnot, and, you know, we can really polish this turd up. Which allegedly you can't do, but... I will find a way. I always do. I don't really care about rules and stuff like that. Yeah. That's another thing that I really don't like, bro. Lists of rules.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm really not a rules guy. if it's cheap, if it's nasty, if it works, you know, go for your life. But I really don't like following orders. Can't hack that stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It panics me somewhat. It's like not being able to make up my own mind or not being able to have a choice is something that produces a physical reaction.
Mm.
You know, like my, I don't know, like if you get a transfusion of the wrong kind of blood or something, you get an anaphylactic shock. It's kind of like that. Because I really hate this this whole, how do I put it? I hate my my own existence to a degree, right? I mean, I'm happy that I'm alive. I'm happy that I'm doing what I'm doing, but I hate all the things that I'm not really able to do, you know? Like, you're always sitting and waiting, kind of like, you know, when you were a kid and you were always waiting to grow up so you can do that and do that, and then you do grow up and then you can go do that, but unfortunately, those people who are preventing you from doing what you wanted while you were a child have replicants and pseudo kind of replacements when you get older, you know? Yeah. Parental authority gets changed into governmental authority. And when it comes to physical discipline, the parent giving you a light smack becomes to the police beating you to death. It just gets worse. Maybe that's a little bit extreme, but, you know.
Yeah.
How can you, I don't know, reconcile all of that kind of stuff? I don't know. You know, I'm a douchebag with a microphone. I'm not supposed to solve the world's problems. I can talk about them, you know. I can talk about them all day. In fact, today I kind of have... what was I thinking about earlier before? I wanted to ask you a question. It's at some point, Shane, you know. stop ranting the whole freaking time. Do you have anything to say? Any choice insights?
I'm just the guy who made a joke at the Prime Minister's expense. The least qualified person. I guess something that I try to do every day is think about why I react to certain things, or just to everything, really. And I think, not to sound like I'm beefing myself, but I think it's something that can help. If everyone did it, I think the world would be a little bit less shitty place. If you just took time to think why you react to things in a certain way and then see whether the reaction is justified.
Well, you got an example? Something profound?
Well, let's look at the generational thing we were talking before. Where it's, you know, I'm guilty of it. As anyone's going, oh, those kids, you know, kids 20s, you know, the next generation below me, oh, they're just naive or whatever, based on one person doing something silly. And it's this ingrained cross-cultural generational division where that's the assumption of the generation below me always. And just taking the time to realise that that's where it came from, and there's no point deciding to, you know, even if it's a split-second thought, it's pointless and doesn't help anyone to write off a generation because one person did something stupid one time.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? I was a student in Dunedin, and I was walking down the street with one of my mates. It was real late at night, passing a primary school, outside the primary school with these two kids playing with a shopping trolley in the middle of the road. And I was like, I went to my mate, hey, bro, you know, maybe we should go over there and get those kids out of the middle of the road. Might be a little bit dangerous. And go, whoa, 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 whoa. Natural selection. Which I thought was a bit harsh, but, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's another thing. Nobody can fail anymore. Have you noticed that? You know, it's like actually, it's taboo to call people a loser.
Mm.
I mean, if there's no failure, there's nothing to compare success to.
Yeah, there's nothing to learn from either.
And people don't want to admit failure either. I admit failure all the time. Well, I am one to a large extent. And if we have any kind of rites of passage, right? Maybe they should be based on some kind of a value, you know, something to verify that you're an adult and you can act responsibly and be trusted with certain things, like an adult should. But what do we have instead? Drink large quantities of beer through a yard glass. That's the measure of the amount of responsibility you need to have in order to qualify as an adult in New Zealand. All right. Am I oversimplifying things? Is that what it takes to be an adult? Have you noticed the same phenomenon too, Shane? Maybe the adults are a little bit childish.
Oh yeah, I think that's the biggest thing you learn by the time you had your mid-20s is that adults are just physically bigger than you when you're a kid. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're educated to the level of a 15-year-old or so. Like in that movie, The Island.
Right.
You know, just clones. I mean, we're like the chicken nuggets of humanity now, you know? We're freaking pink slime, breaded, pressed into familiar shapes, deep-fried, and frozen. That's what we are. Frozen and solid. There's no nutritional value. And again, maybe taking it a bit too far there, Vinny, but for frick's sake, just can we just admit to ourselves that we're really underperforming here, okay? Maybe I'm overreacting, but I see a whole lot of potential in humanity that is simply not being fulfilled. I see people being depressed. I see people getting angry, and I see people failing in life and being okay with it. And not only failing in life and being okay with it, but they can't even admit it to themselves at the same time as being okay with it. Isn't that messed up? My God. It's like, yeah, I'm a loser, I'm fine. You know, that didn't even occur to them. It's like, does a person who fits into a cliche realize that they're a cliche? I expect not, because if they'd done any self-analysis and tried to be an individual in any way, they wouldn't be a cliche. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. I mean,
yeah, it makes sense though, doesn't it?
I mean, the day that thought occurred to me was me and Sarah were driving down in New Lynn, right, you know, light industrial area, and we see these three guys in a lowered Nissan Skyline with the system up, with the windows down, wearing hoodies and baseball caps at the same time, all three of them. Driving past. I was like, bro, I wonder if it occurred to those kids that they're a cliche. And again, obviously not. I mean, you can imagine, like, the day that they turn around, like, you know, there's Mikey, Jerry, and Ricky in this car. And of course, they all, you know, rhyme kind of like that, like Huey, Dewey, and Louie. In fact, they are Huey, Dewey, and Louie in a car, you know, all quackers. And one of them pipes up and he goes, "Hey, bro." I says, "What? Do you realize that we're a cliche?" He goes, "What do you mean, bro?" He's be like, "There are like thousands of other people like us. All right, like exactly like us." That have virtually no discernible different, like you couldn't spot us out differently in a lineup kind of thing. We're that freaking cliche, bro. Maybe we should do something about this. Has that ever been a conversation that's ever happened in all of history? I don't freaking think that's happened either.
No.
Maybe it's just this lack of self-analysis, you know. Maybe that's why everybody lets themselves go as well, you know? Especially after you get a missus. You definitely let yourself go. Guys, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Don't lie to me and tell me that you're the exact same weight you were when you first met your hot wife, okay? Don't lie to me. it's the same thing that happens, you know. You get comfortable, you stop questioning your surroundings, and then eventually you die from it. Kind of like diabetes, you know. I mean, you see those people that are cruising around. Diabetes is so totally curable. It's not even freaking funny, right? And you tell the people that have diabetes, they can't believe it. They're totally aghast. Like, why would the evil medical system run by the Rockefellers and Rothschild banking cartels and families ever lie to us about our disease being curable or not? Why would they keep selling us drugs when they could just give us a cure? It's just, this is self-explanatory. Why didn't where's the questioning nature? And I think it all starts in this education system, right, bro? You know, you start off, you go out there. What's the first thing you've got to start doing? Obeying authority, right?
Mm.
Class quiet down. Good morning, Mrs. Something or Other. And you keep doing what you're told all the frack way through your whole goddamn life. All the way through your life, from freaking cradle to grave, you got anybody telling you what to do?
Mm-hmm.
How is anybody supposed to develop a sense of individuality if everything that they do is dictated in some way, shape, or form, or coerced? You know, I mean, like, let's say you're there's a ravine, all right, and there's a river down the bottom of this ravine, and the river's reasonably wide. Okay, you're on a boat. You can certainly go from side to side in the river, but you can't escape the ravine, you know? You can be an individual. You can maybe, I don't know, paddle a little further away from the rest of the frickin' whitewater rafting group. But other than that, you're still stuck in the same system.
Mm-hmm.
And the system's starting to grow everywhere. It's gotten so huge. I mean, we've got mass surveillance. That's something that's actually really quite terrifying to me.
Hmm.
What's your thoughts on the GCSB bill?
Oh, I just think it's entirely unnecessary. Just by definition of what it is, it's unnecessary. There's already things in place to do what that's there for. In terms of surveillance laws, there's everything that there needs to be already. I mean, it's a minimal input from anyone else before someone and a position of authority to do so can surveil you at the moment. And it's just taking away the last step of that unnecessarily. I mean, how much effort is for a judge to sign off a warrant? Because that's the only change they're making in terms of how difficult it is now. So it's just, even if you take away the offensiveness of having those rights to privacy stripped, the simple matter of the fact is that it's just stupid lawmaking because there's a law there to do what its goal is already.
Yeah. Well, I think if I ever get elected Prime Minister, and I think I'm mainstream enough to do it, I'm going to pass three laws. All mm-hmm. right? The Sinister Act, which will rename all ministers of parliament as sinisters of parliament. So you have the prime sinister, the sinister for the environment, the sinister of justice, and so on and so forth. To appropriately label these alleged servants as sinister so that nobody will trust them, so they won't be able to actually get anything done. It'll be great. It'll block up parliament. It'll be fantastic. All right, that's Act 1. Act 2, which I'll ram through under urgency with no democratic accountability whatsoever, will be the Suppression of Scumbaggery Act, which will create a new government department that has no central building and no funding, to be staffed entirely by volunteers working from home, activists and investigative journalists and whatnot, to expose and be given the power to subpoena and prosecute people who are committing scumbaggery who currently are not within the scope of the police or the courts or that kind of thing to bring to justice. All right? Whoever is currently committing scumbaggery who cannot be brought to justice by normal means, That's what this loose department will be. The Suppression of Scumbaggery Act. And then the third and final piece of legislation, the Suppression of Any Further Legislation Act. So that no other frickin' laws can be passed to curtail our freedoms or give scumbags a hold of the reins of power again. Thank you. That's what's got to be done. I mean, I'm not sure if it will be done, but I can dream. I can dream. You know, you try. You do what you can.
There's still time for the next election. How many signatures do you need for a party?
I don't know. I think you need
3,000?
Like, I thought you needed like 500.
Oh, it might be true, yeah.
Yeah. But then again, I'd have to like, I'm not a responsible person. Well, I'm fairly responsible, right? I talk about individual responsibility enough, don't I? Friggin' libertarians. Ultimately, I don't want the responsibility. And this is the irony of government, don't you think? That the only people that you should actually have in government are the people who don't want to have the responsibility of telling everybody how to live their lives. They're the people you want in government because they won't tell you how to live their lives. But those people don't run for parliament because only people who want to run your life for you run for parliament, don't they? It's a catch-22, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, you know what they say about how turkeys don't vote for an early Christmas or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see the politicians voting to give themselves lower wages. I don't see them voting away their own power to ram things through under urgency. I don't see them downgrading the limousines, BMW limousines to a Toyota Corolla. I don't see any of that happening, bro. I see this separation anxiety kind of thing happening, except it's in reverse. The politicians get anxious if they're not as far separated from the consequences of their actions as they could possibly be. It was outside Paula Bennett's office, right? And SIFs in this country is responsible for covering up so many massive cases of pedophilia and child trafficking that you wouldn't believe, right? Like, people actually suffer depression and anxiety and actually have to go on medication just looking at the facts of other people's cases, let alone actually having it happen to them, you know? Mm. And so we're outside Paula Bennett's electoral office in West Auckland. She has like 20 cops protecting her. Okay? Last time I ambushed the Prime Minister was like quite a number of years ago, admittedly. You know how many cops he had following him around? 2. Okay? I cannot stress just how brazen these people are. It's almost like they love using everybody else's resources so that nobody can get to them to address any grievances. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear it. They just want to sell you some BS over the media quackery, and then run off with whatever they want. That's all it is. Parliament in this country is kind of like a preparing for a hurricane. You expect the worst and just hope for the best. And unfortunately, the best never rears its ugly head. It just keeps getting freaking worse. And you know, I lost faith in the Greens. I lost faith in New Zealand First. Lost faith in National, Labour, every single political representation in this country, because it dawned on me that you can't actually change a broken system by working from within the system. You seen people like that, you know, mates or something like that? They try to climb the corporate ladder, and after a while they find out that they didn't change the system from within. The system changed them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens. I think Nandol Tantos was quite electrifying, I think, when he gave his valedictorian speech. I think that's what it's called, a valedictorian speech. When a parliamentarian leaves parliament, yeah? Is that what it's called, valedictorian speech?
I'm not sure, but it definitely sounds right.
Leaving parliament speech, just in case, you know, for the uninitiated. And he said to me privately that he was kind of handcuffed, right? Like, you come in, they've got all this parliamentary procedure. He wanted to go in and do a hell of a lot of good, and he actually did wind up getting a few laws passed, you know, by hook or by crook, he managed to get it done. But yeah, that's what happens. If you're a good person, you wind up going in, and the process itself of being in parliament actually handcuffs you from doing something good, you know, to a large extent. And so that's how the system works. It actually reacts to protect itself from change. In so doing, none of the change that happens is good, because the system just keeps getting older. It's like if you never change your tires, for example, what's going to happen to your traction on the road? You can be slipping and sliding all over the place, and that's what happened. You know, we've got a parliament that is driving around on a road, dirt road, with no tread on its tires. Okay, it's an accident waiting to happen. The unfortunate thing is, when it does happen, you'll know that it was no bloody accident. Maybe I'm just being cynical. But I can't come up with any evidence to the contrary. What the hell is going on? Let's say you are going to vote in this election. Who are you going to vote for, and what's the policies? Because you're talking about voting left, and I've kind of gone past the whole left-right thing. I think it's just, I don't know. If you're a mosquito and you're flying through the air, and a left hand's coming at you from one direction and a right hand is coming at you from another direction, which hand do you fly towards? That's what voting is. It can be quite frustrating. I know. And maybe I'm overreacting about it, but I remember the US election, when it ended, I was so glad that it was over. You know, this BS about Romney and Obama, it's just exhausting. I actually had to take a shot of tequila live on the show because I just couldn't hack it. You know, like, thank God that crap is over. And now we're going to go into election season here. And I know I'm going to see all these billboards going up. And I do love the taggers, though. Have you ever seen that? Like, people doing little Hitler moustaches on John Key and whatnot. I'm not encouraging vandalism, by the way, regulators, whoever you are. I just enjoy it, okay? It's not illegal to enjoy vandalism. As long as you're not the one actually doing it.
Yeah.
You know? If you are doing vandalism, go for your life. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, I don't know. There's just something, a righteous infliction of retribution. You know, that's what I'm talking about, like the definition of nemesis. That's what political advertising is to me. I see it everywhere, and I freaking hate it because it reminds me of how these people are just lying to everybody else and having everybody believe it. Dear God, please save me from the lies and the frustration. You know, hopefully I won't put a gun between my lips this election, just to make it stop. You know, all this campaigning and political posturing. Vote for me. Vote for me. It's almost like they're trying to sex you with their eyes. You know, have you ever seen like pictures of John Key? It's like, it looks like he's trying to come on to me. It's just like, you know, just makes you a little bit uncomfortable. How his eyes follow you wherever you go, you know what I'm saying? Have you ever experienced this? Maybe you haven't. Maybe I'm alone in this.
It's all about averting your gaze in time.
Yeah.
Don't even lock eyes with you.
Yeah. Averting your gaze. And, oh my God. Oh, you know another thing that really Fs me off, bro? National Party supporters, all right? I came up with this realization the other day. Months ago. Other day. They were kind of blur into one. Anyway, I said, if you vote for Labour, it's because you're an idiot. If you vote for National, it's because you're a dick. Okay? I think those are the two ruling parties in a nutshell. Nobody who ever votes for either of those parties ever reads the policies. Do they? Have you ever tried to engage in a political debate with one of these creatures, Shane?
Yeah, I have.
It is 2 seconds into it. You suddenly realise that they got nothing. I mean, it's like, I don't know, bank robbers, right? You know how some people are like trying to rob a bank with a water pistol? Okay? And the only reason why they managed to rob the bank is because nobody challenges them on their bullshit? That's these voters, man. They're just so full of crap. And nobody calls them on it. And they make off with all your money. Man, that's quite an apt analogy. I'm going to have to use that one again. It's because everybody's afraid, you know, and... Oh, and the other element that I find when you're arguing with these people is they just walk away, don't they? Doesn't take long.
Yeah.
Doesn't take long. Would you mind regaling me with a story of some description? I don't know if you've ever had any personal experience of this nature.
I think probably that the simplest example I can think of was last election. Where Labour didn't really, or actually just the election before last, Labour didn't really bother to announce any policies at all. And I just remember a few friends, and funnily enough, this is from the Labour side rather than the National, but I guess the National voters are less likely to be in my social circle anyway. But the assumption was made that I would vote for Labour and I had to vote for Labour because otherwise National would get in. It's like, well, can I just see what actual policies you're going to run on before I make that decision? Is that okay? And, I don't even remember them officially announcing that Clark was running. It was just, everyone will just assume that's what's happening. And it's like, well, can I just have a little bit of information before I decide who I'm going to see who goes into the, you know, who gets put in power? Don't worry, I'm not going to vote for John Key, but, I'm not going to make the assumption that I'm going to vote for Labour until they actually announce some policies and even who's actually running.
And of course, even when they do put up their policies, whose policies are they exactly the same as?
It's 90% National. They just ease up on a bit. I think the only real difference is that National's much more keen to pull up the ladders that got them in place than Labour.
One of them anally rapes you, and the other one anally rapes you with lube. Because it's John Key, he's just so smooth. Maybe that's a bad image to put in my head there. It is just definitely a bad image.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, that was really uncalled for. I apologise. Especially to the children listening. What kind of children listen to this show? Sweet mother of mercy. Is there anybody parenting out there? Come on. Don't you have a duty to your offspring to prevent them from listening to filth like this? Come on. Oh, yeah. I'm almost like a parental guidance thing on this show. You know? Warning. This show may contain sexual references about John Key. I mean, like, really warning.
Yeah.
can't believe the scumbag even managed to breed. Like, what woman would take on something like that? It's unbelievable. Okay. the mind reels.
Yeah.
It boggles, in fact. It's just like, oh, my God, he's just such a smarmy asshole. I just can't resist. What woman would look at that and just go, you know, I want to have that man's babies. Yeah.
I don't. That's truly a mystery for the ages.
Feminism has failed women, okay? I can't come up with a better proof. You know, the situation's bad, ladies. You know, you got to up your game a bit here. Men have been sexist, racist, gratuitous, and sexually provocative on the show as well. I'm doing well. I might get
something for all the family.
I might get a job at Radio Live, bro.
Yeah.
You know, a Michael Laws slot or something. Yeah, maybe if my business was a bodybuilder too. Anyway, why would you marry a woman who's a bodybuilder as well? You know, that's a mystery, especially if you're a short guy who's very spindly and opinionated and somewhat of a douche. Oh, wait, actually, it suddenly makes a lot of sense. Because you need it to protect you from people. I'm just totally throwing him under the bus here, aren't I? Maybe I'm being too harsh. In fact, I'm definitely being too harsh. This is actually quite nasty, isn't it? I'm just such a bastard today. I think I know what it is. I'm broadcasting at night instead of during the day, because we're pre-recording the shows now, ladies and gentlemen. And right now it's like in the middle of the night kind of thing. And, yeah, I'm not normally this kind of like all over the place during the week. But hey, you know, hopefully you'll forgive me. I may never be forgiven, like, honestly. I've just been thinking about penance for my sins. I don't know. Sometimes I just shock and ashamed myself. You know, I don't know. Has this ever happened to you, Shane? Where you do something, you're just totally ashamed for yourself, and you never forget it? You know? I think I'll never forget this particular broadcast. God, I've said some freaking shameful things. It's just out of control. Well, I'm really going for it. Okay, anyway, sorry. I want to ask you a couple of questions as well. In terms of your political leaning, in terms of leaning left and whatnot, and knowing about the global elite and the banksters and getting into a lot of the esoteric studies like UFOs and what have you, how can you vote when you know about the geopolitical situation that kind of counteracts your vote?
Well, I think. The way I look at it there is that it's not necessarily a negation. I can vote or I can not vote. But, you know, if I'm just thinking the best way to put this, because it's a common argument, you know, if you don't believe in the system, then why should you partake in it? And I think that it's a bit disingenuous to think that you can't do both. You can't work... I mean, you can, there's no reason you can't vote, but still disagree with the system that's set up around that. And I don't think not voting in particular changes that in any way. No one's sitting there going, oh, he didn't vote. Oh, let's tear the whole thing down and start again. So I think there's no inherent contradiction in voting and still thinking that the system's not ideal.
Well, I understand that side of things, and just remembering what Ian Wishart told me is it's basically, I think it was at the outset of the 2012 election, he says it's just shuffling chairs on the frickin' Titanic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that's it. I mean, it doesn't matter who you vote for, things always just keep getting worse and worse and worse. Less freedom, more tyranny, more taxes, more scumbaggery, less enjoyment out of life, basically. Right? Mm-hmm. The fuckers have got the system all stitched up, and the part of the argument of not voting, which I think is actually quite a valid argument, because if you do vote, you're giving your consent to the system. But ironically enough, if you don't vote, you're still consenting to the system, because you're not actually doing anything against it, are you? And I was thinking about this the other day. You can participate in politics however much you want. You can participate into it on a weekend basis. Once every 4 years, though? Come on! Is that how much interest you take in what direction every single life in your nation goes? Is that how much you care? Show up once in a while? Every 4 years or so? For a couple of minutes? To tick a frickin' box? And you think you're going to make the world a better place? It's just insanity, you know? It's too little, too late. What's your thoughts on that, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, totally reasonable. There's no point in being politically engaged once every 4 years. It's ridiculous. I mean, the engagement should be there on a day-to-day basis. I wouldn't actively discourage anyone from voting no matter what, as long as they take the time to actually think about who they're voting for and why. And whoever you vote for is up to you, but read everyone's shit, read what they're doing, who's doing it, who they are, and why, and vote based on that, and that's it. But yeah, part of that, understanding who you're voting for and why, is being quickly engaged before the campaigning starts, through the rest of the year, through the rest of the 3 years.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's a hell of a lot less. it's a hell of a lot easier to get suckered if you're not paying frickin' attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's our problem. Maybe people have gotten complacent enough that they actually are quite comfortable being suckered, and they just go, "Oh well, you know, resign to defeat." Hey, incidentally, hey, do you know why Arabs throw their shoes at their enemy?
No.
To show them defeat.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
Hey, and, you're into UFOs. Here's a good joke for you. What do aliens use to patch up their broken spaceships?
What's that?
Abduct tape. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah.
I told that to a guy at the music festival over the weekend. You hear a cackle for miles, yeah. You know, it was just a crappy pun, bro. Jesus, you know, hold of yourself, boy. You know, it could be worse. It could be worse. All right. Well, anyway, Shane, we're coming up to the end of this. Do you have anything you want to promote, bro? You know.
Actually, not at the moment. This is, funnily enough, everything I'm working on has either already been and done or, on its way. Here we go. A friend of mine runs a website called Cheese on Toast, and they put out, a mixtape of New Zealand bands doing songs against the GCSB bill. So maybe have a look on that. It's cheeseontoast.co.nz.
All right, well, make sure you Skype message that one to me. cheeseontoast.co.nz.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. You know, you really do need some kind of a presence in the entertainment industry, getting politically active. You know, I like that whole spirit of the 60s. You ever hear about that kind of stuff? I mean, obviously neither of us were there to experience it, but apparently there was this real politically active time where artists made music that frickin' mattered, that wasn't about bitches, okay? And my fold by fold and my cannabis crop, okay?
Yeah.
Stuff that matters, hip hop before it got corrupted, kind of thing, you know. Things with a message. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? I can dream. Unfortunately, my dreams hardly ever come true, but you know, I feel better dreaming about it. Okay, well, come to the end of the show, Shane Warbrook. Thank you very much for your time. And your efforts, I can't believe he actually sent an official information act request asking if John Key was a shape-shifting reptile that wanted to enslave the human race, and they didn't say no. You know, it's almost to be expected, actually.
Yeah.
They never confirm nor deny that he's a sociopathic scumbaggery criminal alien scum. Of course you can. Of course you can. You know,
oh, man.
It almost makes sense, you know, I mean, you know, in an ideal world, you know. Hey, it's junky, a shape-shifting reptile, a thing that eats babies and whatnot. You know what? He might just be. He might just be. Okay. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Junky's a reptoid. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen, to this wonderful episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show. Hope it hasn't been too... I believe risque would be the appropriate word. Inappropriate, considering it's quite an inappropriate show. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and the studio and everything is up and running now, so we want to have more interviews with more guests and stuff like that if whenever possible. So you can just email everything through. Go to the contact page at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And, of course, don't forget to start up an automatic payment into that KiwiBank account and whatnot, so we can, you know, keep paying the bills, keep interviewing activists, doctors, lawyers, politicians, the ones that aren't corrupt, and are there any of those? There must be. I'll find some if there aren't any. I'll give up in disgrace if I can't find a non-corrupt politician. Okay, in fact, bugger it, I'm not even going to bother, they're all corrupt. I'm just joking. I just can't be stopped today. Like, what is wrong with me? What the hell is wrong with me? Okay, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.
You are the only exception.